With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. This is the No Fly Zone with Greg Mayberry on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Hello, friends. Welcome back once again to the No Fly Zone here on TNT Radio. I'm your host, Greg Mayberry. Thanks for joining us. Before we introduce our guest today, I want to give a big shout out to David and Lisa and the team at The Light Australia for the terrific job they've been doing, firstly in launching and then apparently now making a big success of this project. Now, if you're not familiar with The Light Australia, go to The Light Australia, all one word, .com.au after this broadcast, and get to know all about this important publication. Now, this truly independent media initiative was dedicated exclusively to informing and educating us all about the agendas that are designed to effectively enslave us all politically, economically, socially, and every other way possible. And this is under nothing less than a digital biological technocracy. Now, this is no mere exaggeration, and I wish I could break it to you more gently, but that's the singular reality that we are facing. Now, this project, The Light Australia, was only initiated earlier this year, and this week saw the release of the fourth issue, which is no small measure of success. And what's amazing about The Light Australia is that it's all been achieved by dedicated volunteers. And as more and more amongst us are becoming aware of the unique challenges that are facing us all, I hear people say, well, you know, what can I do? Well, for one thing, Aussie listeners at least, you can do something. You can sign up for regular updates on The Light Australia and support this project. Find out how you can do that by going to that website that I indicated earlier on. And you can always forward the updates and the links to your social media networks and your email list. So Dave and Lisa will welcome any and all offers of support. Let's keep this thing going. It is traveling very well at the moment with some fantastic articles, some of which we're going to be talking about shortly. Another thing that might be worthwhile mentioning for those listeners outside Australia, the content, of course, is very relevant to all of us. So listeners outside Australia should check it out as well and spread the word. There is plenty of great information there to pass on to friends who are concerned about what's going on and want further information. The Light Australia. Anyway, without further ado, I have today back with me Dr. Judy Weilerman, who's very well known to many of the TNT listeners. She's well placed to talk about the facts and the science surrounding the current vaccine controversy, and she's certainly one of Australia's leading authorities on the historical control of infectious diseases. She certainly spent many years investigating the correlation between the decline in children's health and the increased use of vaccines. Judy, welcome back to the No Fly Zone. Great to have you back with us.
Hi, Greg. Nice to be back.
Yeah, good to hear. Thanks again. Judy, let's start straight away by talking about the Light Australia article that you published recently. It was to do with the WHO pandemic treaty. One of the things that is of certainly great interest and concern to me about where this is all heading. Can you give us a recap on what the treaty represents, what it sort of means for us personally? Why should people be concerned about this treaty?
Okay, so I'd firstly like to distinguish the fact that there's two things we have to be worried about. It's firstly the international health regulations that we signed up to through the WHO, and also this pandemic treaty. Is both of these documents are ways of giving more control to the World Health Organization and the stakeholders, industry stakeholders within health policy. Okay, so in actual fact, I think the real danger is the international health regulations first up. They have been making amendments to these regulations that will enable the World Health Organization to literally take over the control of governments whenever they call a public health emergency. And whilst that's what we saw in the last pandemic, what actually happened there was they recommended the directives, but the fact is that they also pay governments to put those directives in place, and countries in debt usually need to accept that payment. So they're financially incentivized already to put in the directives that come from the WHO, but with the amendments that they're going to be making in May this year, it will literally give complete control to the WHO to put in place any directives they like with respect to public health emergencies. And I think the one thing I need to emphasise here is that what we saw with the directives in the last pandemic of 2020, they were completely the opposite to what the academic literature says as to how we control infectious diseases and also in terms of health promotion in the community, which most people have now recognised. So this is the danger that we are facing.
Judy, we've already seen examples of these people sort of, behind the scenes and undercover sort of thing. They've changed, for example, over the years, the definition of what a vaccine is. They've changed the definition of what a pandemic is. Things like that. This is already occurring, isn't it?
Yeah, that's correct. So what my research showed, I actually, in 2015, when my PhD was published, I described the influence of the World Health Organization in global health policies. And I need to explain here that the design of global health policies is not being made directly by the WHO, even at the moment. And this is because in 1999, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation set up a body outside of the WHO, and it's called the Gavi Alliance, the Global Alliance for Vaccines and Immunizations. Yeah. And that's where industry and, in fact, the World Bank and International Monetary Fund, that's the way in which they got influence into the design of global health policies, and hence they were able to meld public health emergencies with the economies of every country, every WHO member country. So I think that's the piece of evidence that people need to understand of how the governments acted in lockstep because of that body outside of the WHO that is made up of private public partnerships and does include the Federation of Pharmaceutical Companies as well as the biotechnology companies that make money out of these medical interventions that they recommended to control the pandemic. The alleged pandemic. And just to add to what you said there, Greg, it's 100% correct. What they're doing is they're using definitions of words and the framing of words, plus changes to diagnosis and surveillance to alter our perception of reality. Okay, so everyone will know now that they didn't see any change in their environment or even, in their friends and family with respect to, people dropping dead from a serious disease. And this is, as you say, because they are using words to create an illusion of a pandemic, and you can do that when you increase the surveillance of a disease by firstly, and this is the key factor for the last alleged pandemic, for the first time in history, they called healthy people a case of disease by claiming that an asymptomatic person is a risk to society, which of course they're not, and never have been in history. And so once they inverted what a healthy person was and to form a case of disease, they then went looking for cases in the community with, of course, a test that actually doesn't even diagnose respiratory illnesses. So it's all words and changes to procedures that people aren't aware of that have created this illusion of a pandemic.
I mean, it's straight out of Orwell's 1984, the way that, you know, language itself was weaponized, you know, to inculcate in people, you know, these new ideas from, you know, from the authorities. And, you know, it's something that just, it creeps in, Judy, and people just don't, aren't really aware of it. It comes in increments. I think they call it incrementalism. And so we get this kind of slow, if you like, change that happens over time, imperceptible to most people, and then all of a sudden it becomes a reality. But it, for most people, of course, it's a reality that comes too late. And again, this is one of the things that really disturbs me about the pandemic treaty and all of these international health regulations that they're changing. They're changing them incrementally so that people don't get real a real appreciation of what the implications will be over the long term. I mean, give us a sense, Judy, why should we oppose it? Not just Australians, of course, but all of us. Why should we oppose this? Because this doesn't just relate to Australia. This relates to all countries. And how can we go about sort of voicing our opposition? I believe there are some petitions that are doing the rounds now at the moment, how people can contact their local member. Can you give us a bit of an idea of, you know, why we should oppose it and, you know, what we can actually do to voice our opposition?
Well, firstly, the reason that we need to oppose it is that it's literally destroying the genetic and social fabric of society. And the reason is that the pharmaceutical companies, the industry, and all the medical fraud they're using has violated the fundamental principles of medicine. So I'm not even just talking about violating the ethical guidelines, which is what they've done as well. They've actually violated the fundamental principle of medicine, which is that because of our genetics, you can't mandate any medical intervention in the population, you know, and particularly drugs, because everyone will react differently to those drugs. So that's what is at stake. Literally, the genetic fabric of society, we're already becoming a dysfunctional society with the excess deaths and illnesses that have been observed in every country.
Absolutely.
And I'd like to just address the first thing that you talked about, the Orwellian doublespeak that we're getting. And that has, not only is that evil, but it's actually abusing the public's trust, because with scientific issues, the public has no choice but to trust, because most of them don't want to, and many cannot assess the weight of evidence for any procedure, and there's so many, and there's so much disinformation out there that the government has been telling the public for 30 years to only get your information on infectious disease control from medical doctors. Now, what the public doesn't know there is that doctors are not educated in the history of the control of infectious diseases. They're not educated to know how viruses and bacteria cause disease and how it is that we removed that risk originally. And this is where the government and see, doctors are being educated through funding from pharmaceutical companies. So their education is selective. And this means that when they call a drug a vaccine, a doctor also doesn't have the time to research anything other than what they're provided from the pharmaceutical company. So if they're told that vaccines don't have side effects, they're only rare, then that's what they will sprout to their patients. But they're not even told that this drug that they're calling a vaccine was untested, you know, so therefore it can't be a vaccine, because you do have to have 10 years of data to prove that the benefits outweigh the risk. So these lies are what's happening, and the medical doctors are lying because of their education, and the governments are able to lie because nobody is able to make them accountable, because we don't have independent media. And I'd just like to point out the three huge lies that they used to be able to call a pandemic in 2020. Firstly, they told the public that they would have no immunity to this new coronavirus. That is a lie, and it's now been proven.
Exactly.
And that, peer-reviewed journals have published the fact that natural immunity is much better than any immunity gained from this drug that isn't a vaccine. And secondly, the public was told that this drug was safe and effective, and that is a huge lie. So it's not only not a vaccine, it was never safe and effective. And the doctors were telling their patients it's safe and effective and it doesn't have any side effects. So this is where we're at, and humanity is hugely at risk. We are destroying the fabric of society, and literally humanity itself is at risk.
Absolutely. And I mean, I, along with many other things that I've got serious misgivings about, you know, these people, when they're playing around with this genetic material, putting aside the fact that, you know, many of us suspect that the COVID, such as it was, a major threat, was a man-made one, and whether it was accidentally or purposefully released is again open for debate. But either way, they're playing God here. They're playing around with the genetic structure of our makeup, and they're putting the human race at risk here. And this, you know, I mean, it baffles me no end as to, you know, how and why people fail to sort of understand just this one aspect of the whole, the past 3 years. But we're going to go to a break, Judy, and we'll continue this conversation straight after. But you're on the No-Fly Zone today, people, with Greg Mabry. I'm your host. I have with me Judy Weilerman. We'll be right back after this break.
You should hear what John Helmer and George Eliason are talking about.
The arrest warrant for Vladimir Putin. Now, this is the ICC that's doing this. And what happened is they've got a great headline. But here's the biggest problem with this. Neither Russia nor Ukraine are signatories to the Rome Statute that gives the ICC jurisdiction, and Russia does not recognize the ICC. We're talking about something very, very important here. We're talking about the health and welfare of children. On the basis of evidence collected and analyzed by my office pursuant to its independent investigations, the pretrial chamber has confirmed that there are reasonable grounds to believe that President Putin bear the criminal responsibility for the unlawful deportation and transfer of Ukrainian children from occupied areas of Ukraine to the Russian Federation, contrary to Article 82A and 82B of the Rome Statute. This is very important. It is a huge statement, and it is amazingly wrong on many, many counts.
War of the Worlds with John Helmer and George Eliason on today's News Talk, TNT Radio. A better business tip from TNT Radio. One reason people tune in to TNT Radio is often because they're loyal to a specific show or personality. Our personalities have been a part of people's daily routine, and people continue to tune in. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. If you're talking about it,
China sent that surveillance balloon over.
We're talking about it. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to the No-Fly Zone. I'm Greg Mabry. I have with me today Dr. Judy Weilerman, who's well known to TNT listeners. Judy, just before we went to the break, we began talking about the changes to the international health regulations via the WHO and various other things. And we focused mainly on the actual medical scientific side of it. But, of course, the bigger agenda with all of this is it's the thin edge of the wedge here, because what they're ultimately trying to do, and when I say they, I'm referring to the World Economic Forum and all of the other organisations and institutions, they're really aiming for this one world government, new world order thing. And really, this is a way of attacking our sovereignty. If they can take away a country's ability to make decisions about how it provides healthcare for its citizens, again, we're talking the thin edge of the wedge. What do you say to that?
Yes, that's 100% correct. We actually gave up our sovereignty in 2005 when we signed up to the International Health Regulations. And the reason I say that is because, well, you saw what happened in 2020. They were able to enforce all of these practices through financially incentivizing our government to put these directives in place. All of them were draconian measures that should have been put in as a last resort once you have real data on the ground of people being seriously affected by the virus. So people weren't aware of that. And when my PhD was published in 2015, the media attacked it as being a conspiracy theory for describing the Gavi Alliance and how the economies of every country and public health had been joined together through that body. And so the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank can control, each country by calling a public health emergency. So these things are very dangerous. And when they concentrated the power for public health policy and removed local bodies from being involved in policy development, that's where the danger started. And you'll notice that for the pandemic in 2020, the Australian government set up a body outside of the Constitution, the COVID National Board, which isn't a legal body with respect to our constitution, and again, only people with conflicts of interest with industry had a say in the narrative, because with a media that's collaborating with the government, then there was no way that we could have any debate on these issues.
Judy, I've not heard of the COVID National Board. Tell us a little bit more about that. How does that actually fit into the picture?
This was the Premier's, instead of the Premier's meeting every year, they formed this COVID National Board, which is where the directives were discussed and then implemented from this board. And people like Jane Holton were part of that board as well. And she's got strong ties with the World Economic Forum. And
I know that. Yeah.
UN drives this policy. So that's how a lot of a lot of political perspectives were removed from the debate by just creating this COVID national body.
And she still heads up this board?
I haven't looked into it recently. She's on many boards. She was on many boards, and she was fundamental to all the directives that came into Australia. And she's got many conflicts of interest with the financial institutions as well as, the medical industry.
Yeah. Okay. We were talking about how we understand why, or we should now understand why we really need to stand up and take notice and start opposing this. How can people actually go about voicing their opposition? I mean, just ordinary people like ourselves in our local communities. Who can we talk to? How can we let these people know that we are, very much opposed to any further undermining of our sovereignty at the national level? And again, within that question too, Judy, with all of these things that are already in place, is it a little bit too late? Is there any way we can actually roll back some of these new regulations that have been imposed on us by, international bodies?
Well, we always have to have hope, Greg, and there is always hope because people power. So that's what I would say to anybody listening to the call. It is up to every one of us to be vocal now, to speak up. We have to be visible. And whilst we know our institutions are corrupt, the only way we can reveal this now is by exposing the corruption. So every letter that you write, copy many of your friends into it and write to the government and see what responses you're getting. In many cases, we're not getting responses, and that's the point. Democracy went out of this country, 15 years ago at least, and we haven't. politicians have been, if they do respond, they respond with a template letter, you know, just saying vaccines are safe and effective, and they never answer the questions we're asking. So, yes, there is hope, but it's people power, and it's only through public pressure. But if we want our kids to have a future, this is where people can no longer hide under the surface to protect their jobs. We need everybody being visible, and that's how we get mass formation back on our side. It's being visible in these and knowing, giving people, empowering people to know that they can do something and that new communities are building up to actually make change in this country.
You know how obviously, you know, every day, Judy, we're hearing these horror stories of people dying and people, you know, having or suffering very serious adverse events. Let's call them what they are, which is, you know, toxic side effects from these vaccines. As that continues to grow, and I don't think any of us expect that to sort of ease anytime soon, do you think that's really going to be an awakening for many people when they really start to realise, you know, just the what the impact of these vaccines are having on their friends, on their family, within their communities? Is that going to be some sort of a catalyst you see? Do you hold out hope for that?
Sadly, Greg, having investigated this for 20 years now formally, the problem is that it's only when people react to a jab and they have an adverse event themselves or die immediately after the injection or see their relatives die, I should say, that's the only time they'll wake up, because the narrative is controlled by the government and the medical industry and media. They're all working in, you know, in synchronicity to prevent. Yeah. And you see, with the doctors being deregistered, if they even put vaccine on the death certificate or on the vaccine injury, they're not being allowed to do that because the medical regulatory board, which we now know is a corporate body, not linked to the government fully. So the fact that they're threatened with deregistration, they've been protecting their jobs. So I'd have to say to you, Greg, that this the bottom line is that when you reverse the onus of proof of harmlessness for a drug, in other words, when you put a drug on the market without testing to see if it's safe first, and that requires a minimum of 5 to 10 years, then reversing that onus of proof means that the public, you know, by doing that, one, you're not protecting public health. You're clearly protecting the industry and the manufacturers of the drugs. But what you've done there is you're then insisting that it's the people on whom this drug is used that have to prove that their reaction was caused by that particular vaccine. And of course, there's many medications and drugs causing the same sorts of reactions. And what happens is, the latent effect from a vaccine can literally be months and years after the vaccine. So many people aren't linking it back to the vaccine, and that's particularly because the doctors aren't allowed to say that vaccines have reactions. They're told they're only rare. Hence, whenever somebody reacts to it in the surgery, the doctors are saying, oh, no, that couldn't be the vaccine because of their education. Yeah. So I'd have to say to you, Greg, that we're in a really serious situation because all countries have certainly Australia has an 18% excess death rate now.
I read that. Yeah, it's shocking.
It's shocking, but the public, they're only able to listen to their doctors. It's a rule of thumb, Greg. You listen to the experts, and they've been taught to do that. So until our doctors speak up and until we make our government accountable, and that will only happen, Greg, if we have a media to do it. This is the problem we have. It's actually very tragic because, you know, these conversations are very difficult to have with people that have been brainwashed for decades with this idea that a vaccine doesn't have a side effect.
Exactly. Is there not, though, let's put aside the media, we could talk about the media day in and day out and their role in all of this, but is there not now more doctors kind of at least becoming increasingly concerned, if not actually standing up and speaking out? Do you get a sense that the medical profession itself is becoming far more aware of what's going on and are prepared to speak up?
They absolutely are, and particularly because the nurses are putting pressure on them as well. So we do have the Australian Medical Practitioner Society, which is called AMPS.
That's correct.
And of course,
AMPS.
You know, thankfully, this body is, you know, growing every day, but it's going to take the public to educate their doctors themselves. They need to have this conversation with their doctors, because the doctors are being educated by the pharmaceutical companies, and they actually don't have, many of them don't have time or even the inclination to do extra research, because they're paid. This is their livelihood and they're paid to believe. So every person listening to this conversation needs to go to the AMPS website. That's the Australian Medical Practitioner Society, the doctors that are speaking out, and they have now put up letters and documents that you can take to your doctor and let them know they're participating in the biggest crime that's ever been committed against humanity. And it's only with people being visible in doing this and having the conversations. In every conversation now, if somebody has told you that they've just had a heart problem or stroke or whatever, you must just ask, well, how many COVID injections have you had? And of course, they'll deny it immediately because their doctor has told them to deny it, that it's got nothing to do with it. But you've connected the dots, and down the track, they might be able to connect the dots. But they're not
look,
being
one of the things expected. Exactly. And look, I would echo that, Judy. I mean, even from my own personal experience, I'm not backward in coming forward. But when I go into the doctor's office, I'm always reluctant to challenge the professionals, I don't challenge them lightly. But I think now we're at a stage where listeners, that what Judy has said, I can back it up. I am now becoming much more forward in when I speak to my doctors about these issues. I'm saying, hey, you really need to start looking at these matters. And that mention of the AMPS website, please, I'll echo that, what Judy mentioned as well to listeners. Go to that website. I'll be checking it out myself and making sure that I arm myself with the knowledge for next time I go to visit my doctor. Because my doctor, they actually had a vaccination clinic set up within the surgery. And it was called the Pfizer vaccination room, believe it or not. Now I don't know if that's still there, because I haven't actually visited, but the name Pfizer was on the front door. So clearly Pfizer was actually sponsoring that clinic's actual vaccination program. My doctor wanted me to, she three or four times back in the early days wanted me to get the vaccine, and I just flatly refused. But now I'm just wondering whether, I haven't seen her for some time, whether in fact she might now be looking at what information is coming out and maybe reassessing that. If she's not, then I'm going to be notifying her soon, and I'll go to the AMPS website that you just mentioned and bring her up to speed with some of the latest information, if only just to test them out. But the key point here, Judy, I think, is that people need to stand up and speak out with their doctors. And, let the doctors
know. If I could add to that, because, you see, not only have people been indoctrinated for 30-plus years on vaccines, they've been indoctrinated to put doctors on a pedestal, okay? Because all the iatrogenic deaths, that is, the deaths to medical interventions and drugs, is never publicised in the media, and yet they're a third of all deaths, and hospitalisations. So I need to point out here that doctors are great when you're sick, and that's what the purpose of a doctor has always been, to treat sick people.
You would think, wouldn't you?
But that changed from the 70s onwards, because, and we've got the quote of the head of Merck actually stating that it's always been his dream to sell drugs to healthy people. You see, so that's where we've come from, and now we've arrived. We've arrived in 2020, and because of the framing of the vaccine issue, that's where doctors themselves are being duped. They're not aware of how we controlled infectious diseases through the public health measures and nutrition, and how in fact a virus and bacteria actually causes disease, and hence they've been indoctrinated themselves to think that vaccines are necessary and they're all safe and effective. You see, so they're just sprouting a mantra as well. So this is the thing: we used to respect our doctors because they treated us because we were sick and they helped us better. But now, when we're healthy people being told to take a drug, we need everybody to stand up and challenge them, because breaking that fundamental principle of medicine, which states that everybody will react differently to any drug according to their own genetics and host characteristics, that is the key. Yeah. Because people are predisposed to chronic illnesses. There's over 500 chronic illnesses linked to our genes, and they don't have to come out if the gene isn't switched on throughout your lifetime. And what we now know is environmental factors, and particularly ones injected into the bloodstream, they can switch on genes and cause these chronic illnesses, which, as you know, Greg, I showed in my research that children, we have the sickest generation of children ever, because 50% of children 0 to 14 now have a chronic illness, and many of those are life-threatening and debilitating, such as autism and ADHD, etc.
And of course, this was even before COVID, Judy. This was happening before COVID. I shudder to think how this is all going to play out down the track with our younger people who took the vaccinations themselves. Judy, we've got to go to a quick break. We will come back very shortly. I'm speaking with Judy Weilerman, folks. We're here on the No Fly Zone with Greg Mabry. We'll be right back.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
Tornadoes in Los Angeles? How can this be happening? Well, it actually has happened before. We've had tornadoes in California. California is not immune to such things, especially when there's so much cold air in the mid and upper levels of the atmosphere. It can produce something like that. But, of course, everybody's saying this is a sign of climate change. Everything is a sign of climate change. We have a tremendous geomagnetic storm going on today. This is raising eyebrows all over the place. Now, let me tell you a little story. In 1976, I was in physics of the upper atmosphere class, and there's a big geomagnetic storm going off, right? And we had this aurora borealis. I think I told this stupid joke yesterday, so I'm not going to tell it again. And if I didn't tell it to you yesterday, you're not going to want to hear it anyway today. But we had a tremendous aurora borealis going off with the geomagnetic storm. So that has happened before. There's a whole bunch of things that keep happening that apparently the media doesn't think has happened before, but they have. So calm down. The atmospheric apocalypse is not yet upon us. If it is, well, I'm going to be the guy that tried to forecast it. This is TNT Climate and Weather Watchdog meteorologist Joe Bastardi asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you've got.
When the forgotten poor are in need of healing, they wait for a ship unlike any other. Mercy Ships, a floating hospital staffed by volunteers, heroes of mercy who donate their time to save lives.
Every human has the right to have a place at the table of the human race.
If you could just see the smiles that you get when lives have been changed, then it would make it all worth it.
To learn more about Heroes of Mercy, go to mercyships.org.
This is the No Fly Zone with Greg Mabry on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back. I'm speaking today with Judy Weilerman, and we've been talking about a range of issues, obviously most of them related to COVID and the vaccination, and we've also been talking about the changes to international health regulations and how those kinds of changes will impact us in the future, not least of which will be on the sovereignty of our own nation to make decisions about our own healthcare and even beyond that. Judy, we, in our discussions through the week in looking at the sorts of things that we wanted to cover, I'm very keen to talk to you about the new book that you've got coming out, which you've collaborated with a number of people, including Philip Altman, who also, by the way, listeners, has an article in The Light Australia, which I mentioned in my introduction, called Expert Australian Pharmacologist Speaks Out. And that is another reason for checking out The Light Australia, as well as Judy's own article on page three. Judy, you worked with Philip and various other people on this book called Slaying the Virus and the Vaccine Dragon. Now, I believe that book is now out. Can you tell us a little bit more about the sort of the genesis of the project, what the key messages were, you know, what was your contribution, and, you know, who are and what were the contributions of the your fellow authors?
Yes, it's essentially it's a book that's been put together by three or four authors, and you know, we were awake right at the beginning of 2020, recognizing the medical fraud that existed. So this book actually puts together the politics of the alleged COVID pandemic, and the psychological warfare that was used on the public to convince people that there was some scary virus, and that the only solution was this drug that they've provided. So the three main authors were John O'Sullivan, who is a scientist who runs the Principia Scientific International website.
Exactly.
Where a lot of
John
independent
also
research.
John is also a presenter on TNT, and TNT listeners will probably be very familiar with John's program there. And I interviewed John a couple of weeks back, in fact, Judy. So, yes, John O'Sullivan, and it was Philip Altman as well.
Well, in actual fact, Philip, he actually came in at the end, and we got him to write the foreword of the book. And, of course, to have his endorsement of the book, he's been in drug regulation for over 40 years, and he's worked with most pharmaceutical companies, you know, making contracts with our TGA, the Therapeutic Goods Association.
Yeah.
So to have his, you know, foreword validating what we're saying in the book was brilliant. And I will say that the other author, main author of the book, was Saeed Quraish, who also has been a drug regulator in Canada for 30 years. And he provided the science on the virus, you know, the fact that the virus hasn't been isolated, you know, the misuse of the PCR test, both, you know, diagnostic tool, and even in using it in healthy people, for example. And then, of course, my contribution was explaining how viruses and bacteria actually cause disease, and why after 1950, you know, with improvements in public health measures and nutrition, countries aren't at risk of pandemics. And if a pandemic is going to occur, you have to have real data to call that pandemic. And of course, there was no real data to base this on, because the medical industry was using mathematical modeling and hidden assumptions in those models to claim that this virus would have devastating effects on the population. But in most countries around the world, you know, that wasn't the case. And we have new coronaviruses every year, you know. What they 2020 was to change diagnostic criteria and the way in which they monitored flu viruses. For example, do most of your listeners know that in 2020 they stopped identifying influenza and pneumonia viruses and bacteria, and all respiratory illnesses became COVID or suspected COVID. Financial incentives, you see, and that deception in itself, because there's hundreds of viruses and bacteria that cause respiratory illness. And you'll notice that COVID disease itself, the criteria is the same as for flus and colds. So there's the deception. And in 2021, December 2021, the CDC brought in a new tests so that they could then identify flus as well as COVID, and that, of course, COVID cases will decline because you're now calling some of them flus and colds. And then you also stop testing in healthy people, which is what they did in August 2022. The CDC said you no longer need asymptomatic people, and of course cases go down. So all these ways, it's an illusion that's been created, and I've described some of those things in our book that we've put out, and I think we've got a pretty comprehensive package of the politics, the science, and the medical fraud of how it happened.
Yeah, the book, again, listeners, just to remind you, is called Slaying the Virus and the Vaccine Dragon. Authored by, contributing authors, Philip Altman, John O'Sullivan, Judy Weilerman, of course, etc. And I'll be notifying or putting up notices of this book on my Facebook and my Twitter page. If you're on Getter or VK or even on Telegram, I'll also be putting up information on that about Slaying the Virus and the Vaccine Dragon, and letting people know where they can get it. I haven't seen it yet, but I'll certainly be getting a copy in my hands very, very soon, and I'll be doing as much as I can to promote that. I have sent Judy, Philip Altman, an invitation to appear on the show, and so I'll certainly be having him to come on the show and talk not just about his contribution to the book and his foreword, but more broadly about his background and his experience that you've just outlined as well. So I have sent him an invitation, and we'll hopefully be having him on the show as soon as possible. But in terms of getting back to the book, Slaying the Virus and the Vaccine Dragon, where can people order that now, Judy?
Well, that's a good question, Greg, because I've only just been sent the press link as well, but I believe Amazon might be selling the book for us.
Yeah, I'm always sort of a little bit reluctant to promote books via Amazon, but, you know, I'm also a realist at the same time. There was a link that John O'Sullivan sent through. I'll be posting it on Facebook. I'll put it on Telegram as per my earlier indications, folks. It will be readily available. Slaying the Virus and the Vaccine Dragon, I certainly, wherever you get it, if you want to go through Amazon, by all means, go through Amazon. So it is readily available now, as I've been duly informed, and I'll try and get the message out there as much as I can. As always, with my interviews on the No Fly Zone, I put up a post-interview report on my Substack page, and I'll be putting links there as well for people who follow me on Substack. I'll put up various notifications about the book, because it is going to be an important revelation about what has happened thus far, and it's something that people really need to sort of keep up with. Slaying the Virus and the Vaccine Dragon. So keep an eye out for that book. Judy, there was another thing that I wanted to talk to you about, something other than else that came through this week too, is something about, and I didn't get a chance to do a bit of a deep dive in it, but I'll ask you now. There was something about regulating mandatory vaccinations for workers in the future. Did you see anything along those lines?
Yes, I did. And this, I'm very glad you brought this up, Greg, because for most people who have, you know, followed and been forced to comply with the narrative, they're going on with life and thinking that it's all normal and that nothing has changed, when in actual fact everything has changed, and the vaccine mandates are now in place. You see, what they've done is they've now got groupthink in all the workplaces, because those that stood up for medical ethics and principles and informed consent to medications, they've been removed from the workforce. And that's what came through this week, was literally the new WorkSafe occupational health and safety guidelines. It's an amendment, and it now includes the requirement for employers to know the vaccination status of their employees, and it allows them to refuse employment to unvaccinated people. So this is the seriousness of our situation. You know, mandating a drug, and particularly an untested drug, and everybody should by now know that it's an untested drug. It's got nothing to do with a vaccine. It doesn't prevent anything. And because they're claiming that this is for the greater good. Now, you see, that's a lie. That's the lie that's been told, because you can't, because of our genetics, if you mandate a drug, you're not doing it for the greater good. You're destroying the populations, the fabric of our society. So doctors, by allowing their regulatory board now to make decisions for the greater good with respect to these drugs in healthy people, they are causing sickness and death in their patients. So this is the importance of what we're talking about. I will point out that the Fair Work Commission has also been captured by the government, and government it now supports vaccination. All judges will be required to support vaccination because they claim it's the majority opinion. You see, now it's only the majority opinion because everybody else has been censored and silenced and financially incentivized to believe in the vaccines. We have groupthink in the population. So everything has changed. They've now made a medical ethics and principles a minority group and not a majority in the population. And that's why we have to be visible and start speaking up.
So that's actually in play now at the moment, Judy. You're saying that that's now...
Malcolm Roberts mentioned this week that the WorkSafe Health and Safety Amendment Bill has just been passed, and that's what it includes. It's employers being required to know the vaccination status of employees, and they are permitted to not employ unvaccinated people. So employers need to be educated. It's up to everybody now to not go on as normal. If you go on as normal, then our children don't have a future. And as I said, you're destroying, we'll be a dysfunctional society. Sickness and health is what is now being promoted by doctors because they're giving mandating a drug for, well, drugs. Many of these vaccines also haven't been tested against a true placebo to prove they're safe. And they're now combining so many in children that chronic illnesses in children are through the roof. So it's up to everybody awake to start making a noise, to write letters to politicians, and particularly to educate their doctors and employers with the letters from the AMPS website.
Sadly, Judy, I think really we were talking earlier on about, you know, what is going to really make or wake a lot of people up. Sadly, I think it's going to be, and I hope this doesn't transpire this way, but I can't really see it not doing so, given the reports that we keep getting about adverse events, as their children start to succumb to various adverse events down the track, whether it's, you know, in months or even years. By then, of course, it's going to be too late for many people. I really think that's what it's going to take for people over the medium to long term to understand just how insidious this whole program has been and just how much we've been lied to about this. So that's what I really fear for.
I just need to say that that won't be enough. That won't be enough to get this out. So I recommend that everybody starts building the life they want to lead by joining these alternative communities that are, or these, parallel communities that are setting up.
Yeah. Judy, we're going to have to finish up very shortly. We've got a couple of minutes to go, though, but I just wanted to quote something again, referring back to the Light newspaper, in particular Phillips' article. One of the subleads on this goes like this: as the number of dead and serious and or permanently disabled caused by the COVID-19 injections reaches heights beyond imagination, the question now, who needs to be prosecuted? We've got a couple of minutes. Your thoughts on that statement?
Well, it's medical, it's fraud, and the politicians need to be made accountable. Because all the epidemiologists that know how viruses and bacteria cause disease and know that the modelling was using false assumptions, they were censored and unable to speak. So we know this has been a planned event. It's been a planned event. So, and we know that the World Economic Forum controlled by the UN, has put, you know, is pulling the strings of many of our politicians. So they all have to be made accountable, and we mustn't go on as normal. You know, as I said, it's critical for people to positively move into the new parallel communities and build the life that we want to lead with integrity in our institutions, because at the moment, the courts aren't going to help us, and the politicians aren't going to help us, because of the money that's controlling this whole agenda and the collaboration between the media, the medical industry, and the government. It's about these politicians do need to be held accountable if we're going to change this situation.
Unfortunately, politicians fly by night. By definition, they come and go. Judy, we're going to finish up very shortly. Can you just give us a bit of an indication, where can people catch up with you? I know you've got a very active Telegram channel on that. So apart from Telegram, where else can they catch up with you and find out what you're up to?
So my Telegram channel is Dr. Judy Wileyman, Vaccination Decisions, and my website is vaccinationdecisions.net. And people can contact me through email, through my website.
Judy, great to have you on the show again. We'll no doubt be talking to you down the track. Really appreciate your time, and take care, and we'll catch you next time around. Thanks again.
Thanks, Greg. Nice to chat.
Bye-bye.